working my way, as I am, into my eighth decade, I spent a lot of time in my youth reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. Indeed, I am old enough to have been taught the original version of the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, before the under God part got added. But frankly, I've always been uncomfortable with the opening line. I pledge allegiance, and of course, to the nation that flag represents. Well, let's see here. Pledging an open-ended allegiance to a nation that has messed up on a regular basis has always seemed rather problematic. From my youth, watching America wrecking havoc on Vietnam for the flimsiest of reasons, and in middle age, watching that same America destroying Iraq with a logic that was even less informed than the Vietnam fiasco. On the other hand, the next line has always made more sense to me. And to the republic for which it stands, for which it stands, which goes far beyond simply pledging loyalty, but to a process, indeed a set of values. And the authors knew it or they would not have added it. Indeed, anything else would have represented blind loyalty of the sort most Americans have long tended to be uncomfortable with. Which, of course, forces the question, what does that republic stand for? And yes, those values have evolved over the generations, but at its bedrock, its core remains quite clear, a fairly strong but not that strong executive. Yes, they understood a reasonably strong federal government was required, but they had just revolted from a government ravaged by the capricious whims of a faraway hereditary monarch, and thus equally divided the federal authority between three separate branches of government. Which brings us to the present drama of the impeachment trial of Donald J. Trump, which ironically, for the impeachment of a world-class narcissist, has turned out in large measure not to be about Trump at all. Indeed, at least in modern history, however egregious the causes of previous impeachments were, they both seem with historical insight to now appear rather minor. Nixon's covering up of a bungled political break-in and Clinton lying about sex. Certainly malfeasance worthy of impeachment, but with today's drama, we have moved into an entirely different arena. And yes, of course, Trump's actions. Using American foreign policy, not in the national interest, but for his own personal gain, that is deliberately withholding congressionally approved military support for the Ukraine, which is locked in an existential battle with our old nemesis, a revisionist Russia bent on rebuilding elements of its fallen empire, is totally beyond the pale and well deserves impeachment. But the personal fate of our narcissist in chief has ironically become a relatively minor part of the trial itself, and which will most certainly hinge on how well that second part of the Pledge of Allegiance plays out in the minds of the senatorial decision makers and to the republic for which it stands, because it has become ever so obvious that the blind fealty the Republican politicians have shown Donald Trump has made them complicit not only in Trump's ravaging of his own oath of office, but of their own. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Indeed, allowing themselves to be stonewalled, denied relevant witnesses, as no other president has ever done so egregiously, stands out as an ever so obvious violation of their own oaths as senators, which so self-evidently includes protecting the separation of powers, which can only be maintained if every senator makes the preservation of the separation of powers that constitutionally limits all presidents uppermost in their priorities, above any single party loyalty, beyond any single policy issue, and above all loyalty to any single momentary leader, in order to remain loyal to those immortal words and to the republic for which it stands.